14 possible weeds that could be operating in our lives, right? And sometimes we know the weeds, and sometimes God knows the weeds, and He's the one who's He will be the one taking those weeds out because He knows how to take those weeds out. Have you, pulling out thistles or pulling out certain weeds, you always try and get the root. It's very difficult. I had to pull out this one huge thistle plant the other day, and it was all prickly. Yeah, I was trying to get my, hands underneath and grabbing by the close to the dirt and then pulling up gently, and you see all the roots, a lot of the stuff coming off. And I think of how God is doing that in our own lives, right? He wants to get those weeds out so it doesn't choke our, so we actually be freer, I guess I should be saying, right? The more nutrients from the Word of God would be, His fruit would be more and more exposed. So I just really want to do a recap, first off. And so the unwillingness to hear God. So I know in day one I talked about the unwillingness to hear God. And so we're not willing to hear from God because we are perhaps afraid. Maybe we don't know how to hear from God. Maybe we don't think that we could hear from God. It's amazing. God's always, even before I became a believer, I knew God was speaking to me. And I know probably for everybody else, like before we came to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we could look back and say, look, God was speaking to me. And I responded. So unwillingness, so day one. If you want day one, I can give you, print off day one for you if you want. And so day one again, unwillingness to surrender until we know the cost. So that we were like, I'm not going to surrender until I know what's the benefit for me. How many have been there? I think a lot of us could say that. I'm not going to surrender until I know what is it in for me. But then it reveals pride. To me, it reveals pride because then we're not surrendering wholeheartedly to the Lord because He knows the beginning to the end. So am I willing to surrender to Him? Third weed, possibly, unconfessed sin. Right? I always think of 1 John 1:9. It says, we do sin. Even as believers, we do sin. But are we getting right with the Lord after we sin? So relationship. It's not a salvation issue. It's a relationship. Because if I never got right with my wife after a fight, we're still married. But our relationship is hindered, right? So then there's chaos, and there's no peace, there's no joy, and there's like walking on eggshells, like, yeah. Right? You want to get right with that person. So there's unconfessed sin. We want to get right with whoever we have offended. We want to get right with God Almighty. So the relationship is flowing. Lack of knowledge of how to hear God's voice, and so sometimes it's scary. We think, am I really hearing God's voice, or is this my thoughts? And to sum it up, how I have learned, one is it who does it glorify? Right? Is it glorifying God? Is it exposing something? Is it drawing me closer to God? Or is it, right? What is being said? Or what voice am I hearing? Is it, ultimately, is God going to get the glory? If He's pointing things out. Or if He's a word of encouragement, if you go through times, so just briefly, I know day one talks about the first eight possible weeds in our lives. So unbelief and doubts. So sometimes we could have unbelief and doubts that can choke the flow of God, His voice. And so we could say, Lord, help me my unbelief. Lord, help me in this area. And God will help you. Number six, fear of chaos in the church. So the fear of things going awry, like we think, oh my goodness, this is not. I think a lot of times some certain giftings have been abused. I'm not saying, I've experienced abuse of the gifts. But we always have to say, Lord, you know, I just pray that, Lord, that these giftings are not abused. And so sometimes we have a fear of chaos in the church, of really allowing the Holy Spirit to move. And so sometimes we have these walls built up and we're afraid of chaos that would happen. I've experienced that. I've experienced times I'm like, I don't agree with it. But then you look in the Word of God, I think of in 2 Samuel 6, it talks about even David dancing before the Lord. And then I think in also further down, I think verse 16, it talks about David as well dancing. And so things like that, we find things in the Bible. So number 7, not desiring a friendship with God. So how do we build a friendship with God? Get to know him. And how do you get to know him? We have to do that, right? It's vital. It's our very source of our spiritual walk and our to grow and to be matured in the faith. Because if I don't want to spend time with Jesus, who is the bread of life, who is the very vine, and we are the branches, he's the vine that feeds us. In John 15, it talks about how he is the vine and we are the branches, and he's the one giving us nutrients. So if we're not desiring to spend time with him, how can we grow? How can we mature? So it's very vital to spend time in friendship. Number 8 is too busy spending time to listen to God. I know this world is hectic. It can be hectic. We are being pulled so many different ways, but as we build a habit of saying, I'm going to take this time every morning or at noon or at night, but I'm going to take time. And then eventually, more and more time you're willing to spend with the Lord. Because we think, it's amazing. Like, have you ever watched it? You know, you're like, oh, you've been impressed. It's like, I should read my Bible. And you're like, oh, I don't feel like it. I'm just going to watch TV. Or I'm going to watch this movie. And at the end of the movie, you're like, well, that was a waste of time. Am I the only one who said that before? Right? We find sometimes we make excuses why we can't spend time with God. And he's always there, willing to sit down with us. We make excuses. It's a discipline that is not happening in our life. So it really reveals the lack of discipline in our lives. It truly does. If I prefer to watch a movie, to watch TV, over than spending time with my Lord, it shows lack of discipline. So number 9, talking instead of listening. Sometimes we go to the Lord and we just keep on talking. And then have you ever been with somebody who keeps on talking and you can't even get a word in? John. Oh, John, we'll pray for you later. But when we talk, we share our heart to the Lord, but then we also ought to listen to what he's going to say, right? And we listen to what he's going to say, what he's going to pour into us. So number 10, impatient and rushing ahead. That's in day 2 of it. So in being impatient and rushing ahead, so we think, oh my goodness, this is from God, but we never prayed about it. So we're impatient, we think this door is open, we run into it, we rush into it, and then eventually we found out, oh, that wasn't even from God. So sometimes being impatient and rushing ahead, we could get ahead of the cart, or the horse, we could be ahead before the horse, whatever. The cart before the horse, yes. So we could be that cart before the horses, and we miss it. so many doors that could be opened that we think it's of God, but it's not of God. So 11, fear of people rather than the fear of God. Right? Sometimes we have a fear of people. What are people going to say about me? I'm not going to do this because I don't want to look foolish. I don't want to do this because my reputation might be ruined. Right? So what do we have a fear of? And so to have a healthy fear, it's a reverence for God and desire to do what God wants to do through our lives. So 12, Satan tries to keep us from hearing from God. He just tells you lies, and he throws all this lie like a hook and then hooks our mouth and drags us in. And we're being led by this lie, so what lie perhaps Satan has been trying to have you believe for so long? I know if I dealt with lies that were built in my life, and it's amazing when you get set free from certain lies, right? And you're like, I can't believe I was believing that. And one time, you know, and then also, Lord, what is the truth you want to speak to me in this, where this lie has been, have a hold of my life? And when you proclaim that lie, sometimes it's hard to proclaim that lie and believe that lie. Because that lie, it has such a deep-rooted situation in that part of your life. So you can't pronounce the truth. Right? So sometimes a lie can be so deep-rooted that God reveals its truth. And he goes, proclaim this truth. And you can't. And why? Sometimes there's a bondage, a hold there. But then God helps you to say that. So asking the wrong questions. Lord, should I be, you know, Lord, why is these things happening to me? Lord, why is my job doing this or that? So you could be asking the wrong questions, like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through the situation? Instead of complaining about the situation, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in the situation? Amen. See, that's, you ask, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why is this all going wrong? Lord, why don't I have peace? So that's the wrong question. What's the right question? Say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? What do you want me to learn from the situation? Lord, how do you want me to grow in this situation? See, there's a difference. Sometimes we ask the wrong question. Fear of confusing our thoughts with God thoughts, right? And so that's the thing, is like, who does it honor? So in Luke 8, we'll kind of... Luke 8:8 says, and some seed fell into good soil and grew up and yielded a crop 100 times. And as he said this, these things. He called out, who has an ear to hear? Let him listen, let him consider and understand by hearing. So do we desire to hear what God is saying? And when I think about weeds, Luke 8, 4:12, it says, So he's talking about the seeds, right? And this is what Jesus is revealing, what he revealed in the parable, or he's talked about in the parable. He's revealing the mystery right now to his disciples. So those along the travel road are the people who have heard. Then the devil came and carried away the message out of their hearts that they may not believe. So those are the seeds that were thrown on that hard-packed road. Those upon the rock are the people who, when they hear the word, received and welcomed it with joy, but it had no root. They believed for a while, then a time of trial, the temptation, they fell away. So there's different soils, right? And the third one, so this is one who fell with the thistles and the weeds. And as for what among the thorns, these are the people who hear, They go on their way. They are choked and suffocated with anxieties and cares and riches and pleasures of life. That's amazing. I think of how many times the cares and the worries of this life is suffocating us. How many times have we got so many anxieties, worries, and all these stuff? Because sometimes we are being choked and we're suffocated with anxieties and cares and riches and pleasures of life. We're being choked. And their fruit does not ripen, so it does not become mature. And I think sometimes we ask as believers, it's like, why am I not becoming mature? We mature by getting rid of these weeds that are these anxieties, these doubts, these fears, these, you know, things, the pleasure of life rather than the pleasure of God. Things that are trying to captivate our lives instead of being captivated by Christ. What is captivating us? What anxieties or worries and fears are we holding on to? But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who hearing the word hold it fast and just in a worthy heart and steadily bring forth fruit with patience. So as God reveals weeds in our lives, are we going to surrender these weeds to the Lord and say, Lord, I want that weed plucked out of my life. I want to have this anxiety, this doubt, this fear, whatever it is. It could be a list of that 14 so far weeds. And Lord, help me to become more mature. I think sometimes we get so full of anxiety. And we miss what God is hearing in this. In John 15, John 15, 1-2 says, this is, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So the vine dresser is also the gardener. Our Heavenly Father is the gardener. And any branch in me that does not bear fruit, but stops bearing fruit, he cuts away. So he trims it off, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more fruit, richer, more excellent fruit. So our Heavenly Father is the gardener, he's the vine dresser that prunes and he takes away weeds. He takes stuff out of our lives so we can grow, so that his life is manifesting and there's a flow, and so there's things that are not choking us. Does this all make sense? It's awfully quiet. So I think about what weeds are in my life. What am I allowing to choke? What am I allowing to choke my spiritual walk with the Lord? Lord, what are you trying to reveal to me? You know, not all these weeds will affect the same people, but this is just an overview of different weeds, possible weeds in our lives. You know, you think of Elijah, you know, he was hiding from God. He was like so afraid of what's happening, and God's like, why are you hiding? Right? Why are you hiding? And he's so fearful of his own life. So in 1 Kings 19, 11-13, he says, in New King James, and he said, God says, go out and stand at the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Do you know, you recognize the busyness in our lives? We have all these voices, all these concerns, all these things distracting us from hearing God's voice. All these distractions. We have these big advertisements, the news, this all this other garbage is distracting us from hearing God's voice. It's making us worried about what is tomorrow going to bring. I think about what happens, what's happening. You know the answer is? The Bible talks about what's going to happen. There has to be a one-world government set up, being set up. But thankfully, we're not here when that happens. We will not see the Antichrist. The Bible is very clear that we will not see the Antichrist. The Bible says that. And I revealed that so many times and spoke about that many times. We are not here to see the Antichrist. If you see the Antichrist, then you're on the wrong team. But these things have to happen. The Bible gives a Bible prophecy to encourage us so that we're strengthened, to stay faithful. He's preparing us for what is yet to come. So that's why we have hope, because the Bible gives us the only hope that we could ever have. It's eternal hope. This hope should be, you should be so steadfast. And all this news, be like, you know what, the Bible, look at the Bible saying this is all that's going to happen. It's, in the end, we win. God wins. This world is going in the toilet more and more. But thankfully, as children of God, we get to share the truth of the gospel to those who are lost. 300 people yesterday gave their lives to Christ. They got baptized in Drayton Valley. There were 1,700 people at this camp. Can you imagine 1,700 people at a camp and 300 people get baptized? Right? Think of that. So after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So God is not a loud God. He's an almighty God, but he's not a loud God. So we have to quieten ourselves. We have to stop being so busy. We have to be so building a habit of to go into a private room, to a place, and just be with God. Right? There's so much stuff that's trying to captivate our hearts. And God is an almighty God, but he speaks softly. So if I speak softly, like this, what usually happens? You come closer. You want to get closer. When somebody speaks so softly, you want to get closer to him because you want to hear what they're saying. So he wants to speak quietly. So you have to turn up your hearing aid or you come closer to him. He wants you to be drawn closer to him. That's why he has a whisper. You know, God seldom raises his voice. Though the world makes a lot of noise, God does not generally make himself heard by speaking over the chaos. In the notes, I'm just reading. Rather, he often speaks in a whisper, and only who are willing to become still and start to hear him clearly. So we have to choose to come close and stop and spend time with him. We could pray and ask God, I want to hear your voice, but Lord, I do want to hear your voice. But he says, well, you're too busy. You're doing this and that and doing this and this and this and this and this and this and this. You're not spending time with me. You could pray all you want. I want to hear your voice. But are you going to slow down and only do what I'm asking you to do? There's a lot of good things as believers we can do. But are we doing what God has called us to be doing? You know, we are called to be still. Right? Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Let's talk about evildoers. And we think, well, look at all these evildoers. They're prospering. Psalm 37:7. But they're getting the reward now. Our reward's in heaven. Psalm 62:1, it says, truly my soul silently waits for God. Does our soul silently wait for God? As we align ourselves to receive, to obey God's guidance, we first must submit to God's will. So as we align ourselves to receive and obey God's guidance, we must submit to God's will. Are we submitting to God's will today? Am I dying to self? Am I picking up the cross? Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ liveth. It's Christ. We don't live for ourselves, but we live for Christ. So as we submit to God's will, whether it is a yes or a no, it's a choice of the heart. That's why he's after our heart. He's not after our minds. He's after our heart. What captivates our heart? Because really what our heart is captivated about is what's going to lead us. Right? That's why he's after our heart. Our heart really determines which direction we're going to go. So what has captivated our heart? Whom has captivated our heart? So it's a choice of the heart. If you willfully submit to the Lord or partially submit to him, one cannot submit to God without humility. If we're not humble, if there's pride, it will keep you from submitting. You know, within our heart, we really don't want God's guidance over our life. If we can't truly humbly become before the Lord and we have pride, how can we really submit to God? So, Lord, it's like, is there any pride in my life that is holding me back to really submit to you? Lord, is there any, help me to be humble, knowing that I can't do this. You know, so no matter what we say verbally, so if you have said verbally, yes, I'll follow the Lord, but in your heart you say, no, I'm not, right? If we have said, yes, I'm going to follow the Lord, I praise the Lord, I'm going to follow him no matter what, but in your heart you said, no, I'm not, because I want to know the cost before I go into it. No, I'm not going to follow you because I am not unsure what you have, if you have the best interest. It's the heart. It's the weeds. It's a weed that is really revealing itself, right? So what's in your heart? What have you said to the Lord in your heart? Yes, I'm going to follow you. Maybe I'm going to follow you. What is it in for me? He wants your heart. You know, we position ourselves before God in such a way that his voice will be muddled. So if we half-heartedly surrender to him, his voice is going to be muddled. It's not going to be clear to us. Or if we it's muddled, but it, or you know, we're half-heartedly hearing or submitted to him, it's then we twist what is being said. So it's being filtered through a different lens than what actually is being said from God. So so are we fully submitted to God in our heart? Because he wants us to see through his lenses, not through our lenses. As you go along in this journey with the Lord, he gives us clearer lenses to see through. Because he takes out certain weeds, he deals with certain sins at a time, and we start to see a little bit more clearer and clearer. Then our heart becomes more and more captivated by him, and we become more in love with him. Submitting to God always means to humble yourself. Lord, I come here. I humble myself before you. I'm on my knees. So submitting to God means you are humbled. You come before the King of Kings. In Revelation, it talks about how Jesus on the throne and all the saints fell on their knees and worshiped him. Talk about humility. Laying there, casting their crowns down. Lord, I want to be humbled. Humility is always a good trait to have. Along with humbleness, it means recognizing it's not about you. This life is not about us. The life when we said yes to the Lord, now it has become not about us. It's actually become about who the Father is, what the plan he has for us. It's not about us. This walk we are doing now, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus came And he said, I didn't come here, right? He came to reveal the Father. He came to reveal the Father's love. He came to reveal who the Father is. He only does things. He said, I hear from God, and I only, how does it go? He hears from God, and so he be honored. I only do what I hear from the Father so that he would be honored. I'm messing that up. But there's a context. Yeah. So are we doing what the Father's asking us to do? Am I doing what the Father has asked me to do? Because ultimately, that's what Jesus, he's our blueprint of what how to interact with our Heavenly Father. If Jesus, who is God, says, I only do what the Father tells me so that he be glorified, are we living lives that glorify God today? So weeds, 15, the weeds of fear and anxiety. So a big challenge you will face in life is fear. So we forget everything and run. I put that in there for you. I put that in there, forget everything and run, or face everything and rise, right? So are we going to face everything and rise by the Holy Spirit? He's going to empower us, encourage us to live lives. Or are we going to forget everything and run away? I'm checking out. No. Right? So you can also add anxiety to a list of hindrances. It's natural to feel fear and normal to feel anxious. At times, however, they become a huge problem when they begin to direct and steer our life. That's why he wants us to deal with the weeds of anxiety and worries and fears. Because he doesn't want them to direct you, to have you be led this way. He wants you be led by his way. So it's important that you live by faith as followers of the way and not fear of what can happen. You ever play in your mind? I don't know if I'm the only one who does this. Oh, if I did this, or if I said this, this is going to happen. And then if I did this and this and that, or if I, you know, somebody wants to talk to me, I was like, okay, they're going to do this and this and this and this and this. And then you worry and fret over nothing. And then you come to them and they say, well, can you just pray for me? Or can you just help me in this area? Sometimes we have these imaginations and we have all these scenarios that come into our minds, and yet it never happens. See what happened with fear and anxiety? It ruins our lives. It ruins our walk. It kind of takes us way off the path. So are we suffering from anxieties and fears? You know, faith isn't complete absence of fear. Instead, it is resolve and a choice following the leading of Jesus in your life despite any fear and a lack of understanding. So am I wanting to say, Lord, I have this anxiety, I have this fear, I don't want to steer my life any longer. I want to surrender that to you. Lord, I'm wholeheartedly giving this to you and laying it at the cross. Lord, as I spend time in the Word, I know you're going to be encouraging me in your Word to help me to let go of these fears of the unknown. I have my one fear recently just got resolved. Was I had a fear of my son, not my oldest one, not coming to the Lord. And he shared with me the other day, he goes, Dad, I gave my life to the Lord again. And that's so I cried. I was like, I see he, you know, in his teens and he had different interests. But the other day, you know, I see him writing in his journal, reading the Word of God, praying for people, you know, desiring to pray for people. Something I have never seen before. I had this fear that God really exposed and has been, you know, for a while. And I'd seen how God now has taken that fear. I have this peace now, knowing that God had him in his hands. I don't have that fear of him not knowing the Lord, because he does know the Lord. So sometimes, for me, recently, that fear of him, is he a believer? Because at age 14, that's the age of accountability. Or age 13, they're accountable. And so when I think of that importance, and for me, that fear for myself has has been relieved. So it's also important that you live life by faith and follows the way and not fear of what can happen. So the key of doing this is learning to stay connected to God's peace. There truly is a peace that passes understanding. And this is exciting news. His word brings peace. It brings understanding. It brings us, gives us hope and joy. Philippians 4:6, it says, "So do not be anxious about anything." Do not be anxious about anything. Not some things, but do not be anxious about anything. So don't be anxious about anything. So there's no exceptions why to be anxious about anything. It says, this is the word of God, right? This is what God is saying to us. He's saying, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer. So when we feel anxious, we go to prayer. It's the importance of going to prayer. If I feel anxious, it's like, Lord, I'm going to prayer. First thing I'm going to do is go into prayer and pray. And everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting your requests be known to God. So don't hold in your anxiousness or your fears, but go to prayer, going to the Heavenly Father and asking to help you with whatever fear, whatever anxiety that you may be facing. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. Isn't that something? When we go to Him, He will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. So here you see Paul encouraging the believers, including you, not to be anxious about anything, but instead turn to thanksgiving and prayer. Then you can let your requests be known to God, and His peace will guard your heart and mind. Amazing. It's, you know, many times people go into prayer overwhelmed or anxious and feel like their devotions are very dry. Have you ever had a dry devotions? Maybe you have a dry season reading the Word of God, like the Word of God's not really speaking to you. I've been there. I think we all have. That's why we come in fellowship with one another, to encourage one another in the faith, to come and pray for one another, help one another. You know, then leaving the same as we did before. So this is not the way your walk with Jesus is supposed to be. But Paul is giving very practical advice. He says, change your focus, and you will have an easier time experiencing. So asking the wrong questions, right? That weed of asking the wrong question. Lord, help me to ask the right question. How to have a different perspective to know you. So remember that this peace does not come through absence of conflict. We have to go through conflict. Or the presence of great circumstances. We will go through great circumstances. That's the world's peace. Dependent on circumstances. When there are the circumstances in the world, there's peace when everything is thriving, right? The economy is thriving. This is thriving. I got money in the pocket. They base the circumstances on what they have. We base on who we are in Christ. We may not have much now. Or we might be struggling with bills. We might be struggling with something. But our reward's in heaven. So don't let the circumstances of this world dictate how you're going to follow the Lord. So many times in the Bible, it talks about how many people who didn't have hardly anything, just a bit of oil and just a bit, very little, and God always surpassed needs. And it's amazing, God always helps you. So why aim for something that is so temporary and that can easily be threatened? We could all lose our homes tomorrow. We could all lose our vehicles. We could lose whatever. That could happen. How are we going to how are we going to be when we come out of that? Are we still going to rejoice in the Lord? So reflect and review. So what six weeds were shared today? Well, there's more than six weeds. I had 16, 17 weeds. But what weeds did God reveal to you that he wants to deal with in your life? So the purpose of this devotion is not so our hearts will be changed and that we will not be weary or dry, but actually start to thrive again, right? The flow of the Holy Spirit moving through us, reviving us. So we don't become so entangled with what the world is trying to suffocate. He wants us to be thriving right now. Do you make mistakes from hearing God's voice? Yes. So in here, I underlined this one in life application. It says, look at your answers from life application questions one, from both day one and day two in your journal. Spend time walking through. So do not rush. I made sure I underlined that for you. Do not rush. This is how you experience growth you've been always looking for. So we take time and apply what we are. It's not meant to be a checklist. Yes, yes, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. But am I spending time doing this? Mm-hmm. The application is applying what you are being taught. I can't do it for you. I can help with the tools, but I can't do it for you. As much as I want to do it for you, I can't. It has to be a heart choice. It has to be your heart choice saying, yes, I'm going to follow through. Yes, I want to be dramatically changed. Yes, I want to let go of these things. Yes, I want to grow and mature as a child of God. Yes, I'm going to stop listening to what the devil says. I'm going to put on the full armor of God. I'm going to put the helmet on. Ephesians 6 talks about the helmet, the armor. We have been given offensive weapons. We're not on the defensive. We're on the offensive. We're the offensive team. We move forward. And he's the, and he says, take captive every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. So he has given us that. He's given us all things necessary for life and godliness. Do you notice the things that he has given us? I think of this picture. It's like I have all this equipment over here. And I may be standing here. And I could proclaim everything. But if I don't want to put on that armor of God, if I don't want to pick up the word of God, it's useless. There's an application. Applying it. Getting into it. Spending time. So my hope is that if you don't have day one, day two, I do have more day two, but my hope, my desire is for us, for myself, to grow, to become more mature. Like I said, last week I got over one fear. I mean, if I get over one fear, I know you guys can. Right? We don't let fear or anxiety to direct your path, which way you're going to go. But allow the Lord Jesus Christ to direct you and lead you by his Holy Spirit. So, Father, we thank you. And, Lord, I pray that as we quieten ourselves before you and we choose in our hearts to follow you, that, Lord, it would not just be a verbal thing, but it would be a heart thing to say, Lord, I want to follow you no matter the cost, no matter what's going on. Lord, I'm going to choose wholeheartedly in my heart today to follow you. But I don't care what it's going to cost. But Lord, I know my ultimate treasure is you. So Lord, thank you that you're our ultimate treasure. You're the one that we desire and hope to honor, to live for, to die for. Lord, have your way in our lives. Reveal anything in our lives that needs to be dealt with. And Lord, that we would respond to you and we would not quench the Holy Spirit as your Holy Spirit speaks to us. So Lord, we help us to have humble hearts and a willing heart to respond in a positive way of you speaking to us. And Lord, as we write down the things that you're speaking to us about, Lord, that we would not brush it off to the side because we get so busy, but Lord, that we would actually apply the things that you're speaking to us about, how to grow and to what to let go. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to have humble hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you have the best interest for us. You want us to grow and to become more mature, to reveal more of your fruit in our lives. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.